This is the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Hello and welcome to the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Our first story comes out of China as China's Evergrande, the world's most indebted real estate developer, has entered a complex and potentially tumultuous liquidation process. On January 29th, the Hong Kong High Court ordered Evergrande's liquidation after the company failed to present a viable restructuring plan for its staggering $300 billion debt. This sent shockwaves through the financial world, with Evergrande's stock experiencing a 20% plunge before trading was suspended. The process is expected to be lengthy and arduous due to Evergrande's vast size and intricate holdings. However, several critical issues add layers of complexity. The most prominent concern is the potential clash between the court order and the Chinese Communist Party's, CCP, desire for social stability. Many Evergrande investors, particularly those residing in unfinished apartments, are already disillusioned by the situation. The CCP fears that the liquidation could further fuel discontent if unfinished projects remain abandoned. This may lead them to challenge the court order, citing the legal precedent of only accepting 5 other Hong Kong liquidation applications. Another concern lies in the precedent set by Evergrande's case. Other indebted Chinese real estate firms face similar financial straits, and foreign creditors may push for their liquidation as well. This could snowball into a broader crisis, with hundreds of uncompleted projects and thousands of job losses, potentially triggering major social unrest. The CCP faces a difficult decision: bail out the struggling developers or let them fail. A bailout could set a dangerous precedent, opening the door for other troubled sectors, like shadow banking and tech, to demand similar interventions. Furthermore, the cost of bailing out all struggling entities could be astronomical, putting further strain on the government's finances. Local governments throughout China also grapple with significant debt burdens. Their pleas for assistance add another layer to the CCP's already complex equation. Choosing which entities to rescue and which to let fail will create winners and losers, potentially exacerbating social tensions. The path forward remains unclear. The CCP must carefully weigh the various risks and potential consequences before making a decision. While the legal process unfolds, the social and economic implications of Evergrande's liquidation loom large, casting a shadow over China's future. This is also coupled with our next story, which is that China's debt situation. A recent report reveals a new record high in its debt-to-GDP ratio. Let's unpack the numbers and delve into the potential implications. According to the National Institution for Finance and Development, NIFD, China's debt-to-GDP ratio ballooned to an unprecedented 287.8% in 2023, a significant jump from the previous year's 274.3%. This translates to nearly 3 times the size of China's economy being held in debt. While the overall increase is concerning, the breakdown reveals varying trends within different sectors. The household debt ratio saw a modest rise to 63.4%, indicating relatively moderate individual borrowing. Government debt also experienced a climb, reaching 55.9%. However, the most substantial increase came from non-financial corporations, whose debt ratio surged to a staggering 168.4%. Interestingly, the total debt accumulation actually slowed down in 2023 compared to the previous year. This seemingly positive development is attributed to China's decelerating economic growth. In simple terms, the debt pile grew at a slower pace, but the shrinking economy made the existing debt appear larger in comparison. The NIFD report highlights the delicate balancing act China faces. Further reducing debt growth could strain the already sluggish economy, while allowing debt to climb unchecked poses long-term risks. The report proposes various solutions, including boosting domestic demand, aiming for a higher nominal GDP growth target, and even increasing stimulus measures. However, these recommendations come with caveats. Injecting more stimulus requires additional borrowing, potentially exacerbating the debt issue. The report further suggests using borrowed funds to help local governments manage their debt burdens, aiming to boost overall GDP growth. This creates a complex scenario where new debt is used to manage existing debt, raising questions about long-term sustainability. Next, the Indian Air Force, IAF, is announcing 3 major air exercises scheduled for the first half of 2024. Let's take a closer look at these exercises and their potential significance. Kicking things off in February is Vayu Shakti 2024, a joint exercise near Jaisalmer, Rajasthan. The IAF and Indian Navy, IN, will join forces to showcase their ability to neutralize diverse targets. From the IAF's arsenal, LCA Tejas, MiG-29s, Mirage 2000s, Rafales, and Su-30 MKIs will take flight, alongside IN's MiG-29Ks and P-8Is. Indian Army attack helicopters and various IN helicopters will also add to the firepower. April ushers in Gagan Shakti, a large-scale exercise spanning across the country, from Ladakh to the Indian Ocean, and Gujarat to Arunachal Pradesh. Diverse IAF units will be activated. Ground attack, air superiority, transport, and unmanned aerial vehicles, UAV, squadrons will participate in simulated offensive and defensive missions issued by higher commands. Notably, all S-400 surface-to-air missile systems in northern and western India will be activated, showcasing their defensive capabilities. IN's MiG-29Ks and P-8Is will collaborate with Su-30 MKIs to conduct maritime strikes, demonstrating coordinated air power. August marks the inaugural Tarang Shakti 2024, a multinational exercise designed to foster cooperation with air forces worldwide. Australia, France, Germany, Japan, and the United States are slated to participate, convening near Jodhpur, Rajasthan. This exercise presents an opportunity for the IAF to learn from and collaborate with its international counterparts, exchanging best practices and refining joint mission coordination strategies. These exercises highlight the Indian military's growing emphasis on joint operations and theater commands. Effective information sharing and collaboration between diverse units are crucial for the success of these new commands. Vayu Shakti and Gagan Shakti serve as training grounds to develop and refine such processes, potentially utilizing an initial version of the theater commands during Gagan Shakti. Furthermore, Tarang Shakti offers a valuable platform to learn from foreign militaries' expertise in information sharing and mission coordination. Exchanging knowledge and best practices on air task coordination will strengthen the IAF's capabilities in a multinational environment. Continuing with another story out of China, as a recent report exposed China's alleged attempt to influence the Tuvalu elections, shedding light on their methods of international influence operations. Taiwan's Liberty Times revealed an email from China's state-owned CGTN news agency reaching out to Tuvalu's Broadcasting Corporation, TBC. The email offered $450 USD for an 800-word opinion piece advocating for severing ties with Taiwan. Notably, the email explicitly mentioned wanting the article to be suggestive, raising concerns about potential biased content. This incident aligns with known tactics employed by China's United Front Work Department, UFWD. The UFWD, responsible for promoting the interests of the Chinese Communist Party abroad, often leverages various tools for influence operations. Chinese state media like CCTV and CGTN are frequently used to spread disinformation or propaganda internationally. These outlets serve as mouthpieces for the party's narrative, aiming to shape public opinion overseas. Notably, the email originated from CGTN, an international affiliate of CCTV. This highlights the UFWD's strategy of using international branches to reach local media and commission seemingly objective articles that align with their agenda. In some cases, the UFWD might collaborate with local media outlets or individuals directly, as seen in the email. This method, however, carries the risk of leaks, as evidenced in this instance. This incident raises concerns about China's growing influence operations targeting smaller nations. While the effectiveness of this specific attempt remains unclear, it underscores the need for global awareness and vigilance against foreign interference in democratic processes. Next, North Korea's recent test firing of a submarine-launched cruise missile, SLCM, under the watchful eye of leader Kim Jong-un, has sent ripples through the region and sparked international analysis. On January 28th, North Korea launched two Pulisal 331 SLCMs from an underwater platform. These missiles flew for over 2 hours before hitting a designated target, showcasing their long-range capabilities. This marked the second successful test of this specific missile type within a few days. The presence of Kim Jong-un and high-ranking officials during the test signifies its importance to the North Korean regime. It emphasizes their commitment to developing their strategic weapons program, including submarines and missiles. Notably, the use of a secondary number in the missile's name suggests they are either actively developing multiple variants or aiming to portray an image of diverse capabilities. Intriguingly, no photographs accompanied reports of Kim Jong-un inspecting the nuclear submarine project supposedly linked to the launch. This is unusual, considering the typical propaganda value associated with such visits. This absence could indicate different possibilities. The inspection might not have happened, and the report served as a propaganda tool without substance. Photos might have revealed sensitive information about the project, prompting them to withhold them. The submarine project might not be visually impressive enough for propaganda purposes at this stage. While the test itself demonstrates advancements in North Korea's missile technology, the surrounding details leave room for interpretation. The motives behind the testing, the actual stage of the submarine project, and the intentions behind the information blackout remain unclear. And finally, we delve into the recent reforms of the Philippine intelligence community. These reforms, including the reorganization of the National Intelligence Coordinating Agency, NICA, and the reestablishment of the Armed Forces of the Philippines Counterintelligence Group, AFPCIG, aim to enhance the country's ability to counter evolving threats in a complex geopolitical landscape. The Philippines has historically lacked a robust response to various intelligence threats, particularly those posed by China. China's influence operations, including disinformation campaigns and cyber attacks, aim to sway public opinion and gather sensitive information. The Philippines recognizes its vulnerabilities and seeks to strengthen its intelligence capabilities to counter these efforts. Executive Order 54 establishes the Office of the Deputy Director General, ODDG, for cyber and emerging threats within NICA. This new office centralizes and streamlines intelligence gathering on counterintelligence, cybersecurity, and emerging threats like weapons of mass destruction. The ODDG also houses two specialized directorates: Directorate for Counterintelligence and Security, DCS, focuses on coordinating counterintelligence activities across the Philippine government; Directorate for Cyber Intelligence and Countering WMDs, DCCWMD, oversees the National Cyber Intelligence Network, conducts research on cyber threats, and monitors cybersecurity efforts. The Armed Forces of the Philippines reactivated the AFPCIG to specifically address counterintelligence missions nationwide. This unit's mission expands beyond its original focus on counter-destabilization to include counter-espionage, counter-infiltration, and counter-sabotage. The AFPCIG operates as a separate unit from the AFP's intelligence service, bolstering the country's overall intelligence collection capabilities. The AFPCIG's reactivation also coincides with recent rumors of a potential coup attempt against President Marcos. While the AFP downplayed these rumors, the unit's focus on internal threats suggests a proactive approach to safeguarding national security. The AFPCIG's historical experience in identifying and neutralizing coup attempts makes it well-suited for this role. The Philippines' intelligence reforms are a necessary step towards addressing contemporary threats and safeguarding national security. The NICA reorganization streamlines intelligence gathering, while the AFPCIG bolsters counterintelligence efforts. While concerns linger regarding potential misuse of these expanded powers, the Philippines seeks to navigate this complex landscape by ensuring adherence to democratic principles and the rule of law. This has been the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Thank you for listening.